Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community-funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial-free programming that varies from indie to hip-hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM, stream at krcl.org, or download the app on the App Store. This episode contains topics of sexual assault and domestic violence. Listener discretion is advised.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
The Johns are a three-piece band residing in Salt Lake City, and they refer to themselves as John, Big John, and Little John. The group formed in 2022 and has since released multiple bodies of work. Notably, they released a renowned single called Red Tears, which you'll hear at the end of the episode. The song went viral in just a few months, growing popular on TikTok, and it accrued more than 1.5 million streams on Spotify. It also charted on SoundCloud at number 10 in the UK and 35 in the US for 5 weeks straight. In this episode, the Johns talk about writing that song and how it was inspired by sexual assault in the music industry. Plus, they tell the story of how they met and how the band's drummer, Big John, saw them play live before joining. His first impression wasn't what you might think. Also, you'll hear it from them, but all of the proceeds for the song Red Tears are being donated to sexual assault and domestic violence victims. You can find more information about the No More organization at the episode description, and you can generate donated funds by streaming the song on Spotify. Now I see.
I'm Big John, I play the drums.
I'm Lil John, I play the bass and sing.
And I'm John, and I play the guitar and I sing. We make a type of music that is, I would say, a combination of shoegaze, post-punk, indie folk, and it's kind of this mashup into this thing that is pretty specific to the Johns, I feel like.
Growing up as a kid, like, I had a CD player, and the first two CDs that I had were Linkin Park and their first two albums, so that one definitely hits home. And I also had Outkast speaker box, and that has been my music taste for the rest of time, like hard rock music and rap.
Yeah.
And now I think a band that does that really well is Surf Curse. Like, they got really popular with one of their songs. Yeah. But their whole discography, they play really passionate live. Yeah. Love the mosh pit, and their lyrics are also very deep and emotional too. And yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think Surf Curse, for sure, all three of us really vibe with their deeper discography. I guess one thing is just like the 90s for us are huge. Like, Radiohead is huge in our sound. Even like some of the deeper Nirvana stuff is pretty prominent. For me specifically, Joy Division and a little bit of The Cure.
Yeah, same with these guys said. I think from a young age, I've always loved Nirvana. It's definitely a big inspiration. Especially playing as a three-piece. Yeah. We look up to them that way. But yeah, I love Sublime. Yeah. Especially to my playing style. I love like Chris Novoselic and like Peter Hook from Joy Division. Even Eric Wilson from Sublime I love. So.
Yeah, a band we've been rocking with recently too is The Garden.
Oh yeah, we love The Garden lately.
The Garden's been going hard lately for us. And we all saw them at the Kilby Block Party.
Oh, yeah.
So we were in the mosh together.
Yeah, we love
having a good time.
Yeah. Why don't we go? Let's get away and say good sex. So I met John, and he was a bass player, and we kind of had multiple drummers that were like in and out over the course of 2022 to early 2023. In early 2023, we kind of got to the point where we were able to like do a little independent tour of the West Coast. And none of our drummers that we had were ever like super committed, or they were all pretty like short term. And then we knew Big John from another band called Mod we played with like early on. We were always really good buds with Big John. And then before we went on the independent tour, we hit him up. We were like, hey, we need a drummer. And we all just clicked, and we built a really deep chemistry, and it's been great having Big John aboard.
Yeah, I met these guys actually at their first show that they ever played live.
Yeah, true.
I was playing with another band, and honestly, I don't know what it was. They kind of stunk at their first show, and like, I've told them this before, but
yeah,
there was something so charming and so good about it. Like, I got back and told all my friends, like, you see a lot of local bands, but these guys like really stood out to me, and I bought a couple t-shirts from them, which like I never do, but I was like, dang, these guys have it going on. And then we stayed in contact just from being in bands.
Yeah.
And I saw they were like starting to do really good, and I just let them know, like, if they ever need drummer help, because they were going through drummers, like, let me know, because like, I just love playing, so still playing other bands and stuff, and here we are.
Yeah.
Why did they still stick out to you? Like, why did you still buy a shirt?
Yeah, first, like, they all had blonde hair.
Oh my god, I forgot I did.
Lil John bleached his hair, and I was like, all right, these guys are goons.
Buzzed and bleached my hair.
Buzzed and bleached. Yeah, and like, Lil John was not on time with the drummer, and that's bass and drums have to be on time together. Like, I grew up in jazz band, and if it's not together, I almost can't listen to it. And they were not together, but I was still like, damn, they're playing their little hearts out.
It was mostly our drummer's fault.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic, because me and John have, you know, we're pretty raw. We were self-taught, and Big John was, he came from a different background of music.
Played like jazz.
Yeah. But our drummer at the time, he just loved smacking the drums and didn't really worry about much else.
He didn't have the best timing.
And, you know, we were all new to it.
They were all new to it, but, and I could tell, and it just seemed like they didn't care, which I love. Like, they were still rocking out. They had a good time. And like, those songs we still play now, even when I heard them the first time, like, they were very deep, and they just immediately stood out to me. And even still playing them, like, I don't get tired of them. They're like really beautifully written. So even when I came in for the first set of shows that I did with them, we had like 2 weeks to prepare. So I listened to all the songs, and when we came to play them live, I had kind of put my own parts in here and there.
Yeah.
And it was super awesome that they were receptive to it. Like, the whole time we were like, oh, this sounds sick. Let's do this. Let's do this way. And we changed it up that way. And like John said, going forward, and what we do now is we just take the songs, we jam them out a little bit and add different things and spice them up. And
one thing I'll say about our live shows too is I feel like we always slightly play the songs a little differently.
Yeah.
So you'll be getting something different from a show from 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We're always adding little jams or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just like say screw it, and I'll just like play a different solo. Or like
pretty much.
Big John will just play a new fill we've never heard.
Yeah. After the show, they're like, those were good fills. So I'm like, I don't know where that came from, man. Just switching it up.
Yeah. Obviously, like, when you write songs that are pretty vulnerable, or they, like, talk about your life experiences, there is sort of like the anxiety of putting it out. As humans, it's like, it can be hard to just say how you're feeling, and just you expect other people to hear it, and like, now you're all exposed. They know a little secret about you almost. So yeah, I guess there's like that, and like, that's part of the anxiety, I guess. But then there's also like, I guess like when I was younger, I was like way more worried about this, but I was like always worried that like what I was doing as a musician was like not gonna be as good as like what my peers were doing, or like other people in the scene were doing, or like just other people were doing. And I was always like worried that like I wasn't good enough, or like what I would make wouldn't resonate with people, and it wouldn't be popular or whatever. But I think just like over time, with a lot of self-growth, I've learned to just like stop caring, because it's kind of like what I do as a musician and as a songwriter can only be done by me, and I think there's a lot to be done like that. Yeah.
I think just as a musician in general, or learning anything in general, you have to look up to other people who are better than you so you can get better and learn different techniques, different things like that. And that's really great because you can learn new things, but it also can wear on your mental just by comparing yourself, saying, I'm not good enough. This person is better than me. Why can't I be like them? And yeah, I think just over time, performing and practicing, you kind of learn like everyone plays their own thing differently, and that's what makes you great. So you kind of just stick to what you like. It's always good to get your skills up, like I said, but everyone goes at their own rate and their own progression. So you kind of just have to monitor that within yourself and not compare it with other people. And I think that like my whole life, it came up playing live. You're always afraid to mess up, no matter how hard you practice. There's an anxiety of like, oh, I just want this show to happen right now so we can just play and get it over with. But yeah, you want to do the best you can, so there's kind of some anxiety behind that. And the more practice and the more you kind of let go of caring if you mess up or not, it goes away. And none of us really care that much about messing up anymore because it's all part of it. Everyone messes up, so a little mistake here and there is fine.
Once you let go, you become free. I think like once I just like finally got on stage and just started playing, it was like, yeah, like all I can do right now is just be myself. So yeah, just play.
And I think I could, as a person in the crowd, like I really felt that because my judging mind was saying, man, these guys are out of time. They stink. But like my artistic mind was saying, wow, like these guys don't care and they're really passionate and it sounds still good. So
I think a good example of that would be like, I like the Velvet Underground, and like in a lot of their like recordings that are like iconic, even it's like wow, like these drums are like sort of like off time, or like this guitar's a little bit out of tune. The artistic minds that you can hear from like just like the band, it like makes you not even really care about that. And I guess we all kind of live by like the punk ethos, and that's kind of, I think, where we have learned to just kind of let go and like just let the art speak for itself. Might not be perfect.
The punk ethos is definitely kind of etched in our DNA, I feel.
Yeah. It's just freedom.
Just freedom, passionate, and standing for something you believe in.
Yeah.
I feel. I'm not the most experienced musician. You know, I've been doing this for 3 years, maybe. I come from a really different background from sports. And definitely, like, talking about that first show, I just remember getting up on stage and thinking, what am I doing here? I was on a soccer field, like, a month ago, and now I would never think of doing this. And so I think music definitely kind of saved me in a way, because I was just kind of in a depressed state of mind, and I got out of it through music. And I guess there was definitely anxiety about what my peers would think about me, about becoming a musician. And for me, sports, I mean, from a young age, it was like always the dream for me, at least. And it definitely was an outlet at one point, but I'm the type to like obsess over things I love. And I really care about things that I'm passionate about. And unfortunately for soccer, I was very passionate, and I just kind of got burnt out. And it's like when your whole life you identify as, you know, someone, it's kind of scary to think about being someone else or something else. It was definitely a weird experience, but it's worked out, and it's been a great experience, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So Red Tears is an anti-sexual assault song. It's a pretty deep song. It's probably our darkest song. And yeah, it just has like a really powerful meaning. Like we really enjoy like playing it live because it's kind of like a little bit of like an anthem. So yeah.
I think the song is a great transition to the new stuff that we're going to release.
That's a good point.
Like John said, it's a little darker, also still packs like a great meaning behind it. And I think people are really taking a liking to that and have a good understanding of it. So
yeah, it's been like pretty cool to see. I feel like people have like kind of come together a little bit on like social media because of the song. Especially people on like TikTok, we've seen people being like vulnerable with their own experiences, and people have created a little bit of a community, it seems like, around that, comforted each other. Ever since I like first really got into music scenes, especially like the indie music scene, I've noticed that there's a trend of really bad people in these small music scenes that do like really bad stuff. I'd even say there's like some big bands that people even love nowadays that if you look into their track record, they're like not good people. And that initially sparked an anger in me because in my opinion, if you make music, because a lot of times it's like bands taking advantage of fans and stuff. And I think that is like not only are you like ruining someone's life and like really hurting someone, you're also like emotionally hurting everyone who's ever listened to you, because when you make music, you touch someone's emotional spirit. And to me, if you are like a person who's done something like that, you are literally just disrespecting everyone who's ever listened to you. And I think especially like these indie bands who like do a lot of that bullcrap, they all need to go to hell. But yeah, then I always kind of wanted to write a song about it, but I didn't want it to be like corny. I wanted it to like be really meaningful, and I use a lot of metaphors when I write. So yeah, I was like, what's the best way to kind of get this point across? And I kind of picked some themes, and I did like a lot of research on like the Catholic Church, and it has nothing to do with being against the Catholic Church. It's just that the Catholic Church has a track record of really messed up priests that do bad things to people and whatnot. So I pulled the metaphor of like stained glass. I guess the song kind of tells the story of a victim of sexual and domestic abuse. We decided as a band that we're going to donate the royalties we make from the song to the No More organization. And the No More organization is like the leading nonprofit organization that basically they like push to send bills and like make changes in the justice systems, because not a lot of like victims of sexual and domestic abuse get a lot of justice. A lot of their perpetrators don't really get much done to them. You can look it up. And the No More organization pushes, and they create rallies, they create protests, they do everything, and they make every effort possible to make change with the stigma and the terrible numbers that are associated with sexual and domestic abuse.
You are about to hear our single Red Tears in its entirety.
we released our first album like 2.5 years ago, and we're stoked because we have another album that is like on the way any month now. Yeah, it's gonna be a real good reflection of kind of like what Red Tears sound like. The sounds, the guitars, the drums, they're all pretty similar to Red Tears. Yeah, you can find us on Spotify, it's just The Johns, Instagram. I mean, I guess we're on like every other streaming service too, under The Johns. We're on SoundCloud now. We weren't for like 2 years, and now we finally upload our music on SoundCloud. So if you want to go stream our music for free, then do it on SoundCloud. We're not going to complain. And then Instagram, it's the.johnsband. I guess we're on TikTok too. I don't know what our username is though.
Something along
if
the
you
lines.
Look up The Johns Band,
yeah, just
you
look
can
up The
Johns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Sound Waves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Mary Culbertson, coordinated by William Hughes, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy any place cool or at slugmag.com. Slug is proud to be a sponsor of the 16th annual Craft Lake City DIY Festival presented by Harmons. It's Utah's largest local-centric arts, music, science, and technology festival. Join us August 9th through the 11th at the Utah State Fairgrounds for local art, local music, local food, and more as we celebrate Utah's creative culture and arts community.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Sound Waves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.